You know, last semester Stan asked if I'd consider speaking. And I kind of thought, I'm not a theologian. I'm certainly not a pastor. In fact, my favorite memory verse was always John 11:35. Jesus wept. How many pastors do we have in here? Stand up if you would, please. Let's give them a hand. See, I started thinking, all these pastors, and he asks me to talk. Why? Then it dawned on me, we have less than an hour here. Well, Tim came to me at the end of last semester, and he said, this is what you're talking on. He showed me a piece of paper. It said, following the rules. I got excited. I'm a deputy sheriff. I got excited. I thought, these guys know the big ones. I could just talk about some of the rules that some people seem to struggle with. That way we can maximize our table discussion time. So here goes. Red lights, stop signs, and speed limits are not merely suggestions. Turn signals are not luxury options that you failed to order. They did come standard on your vehicle. You can use them. Tell them I said it was okay. Downloading movies and music from the internet that aren't supposed to be free is stealing. Sorry, Lord. Throwing something other than your fist at someone is still battery, or attempted battery if you're bad aim. Beautifying your vehicle's interior by getting the trash out while you're going down the road is littering. And constantly calling your ex-girlfriend after she told you to stop is harassment. Well, see, I then noticed there was a separate part to the topic. It didn't just say following the rules. It said following the rules or following Jesus. So does that mean that Jesus didn't follow the rules? Not quite. Perhaps not the rules of men, or even of science or physics. I can't walk on water. But those from the Father, he certainly did. He was unwavering in his obedience. So why does it say following the rules or following Jesus? Well, it's all about the target. Kyle Idleman starts his chapter by stating that when he describes how an Olympic shooter, Matt Emmons, one shot away from a gold medal, accidentally aims at the wrong target. He made a good shot, but not a good aim, and it cost him a gold medal. So how much more could aiming at the wrong target cost us? See, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for doing just that. All they were concerned about was aiming at keeping the rules. The Pharisees, they had all kinds of rules. This means, they tried to follow all the Mosaic law, written and oral, which means that half were actually just traditions that were passed down through the generations. It allegedly began as the law that was given to Moses by God when he spoke to him. But the problem is, after those words are passed down and around in every which way, I guarantee you, they got twisted, added to, and some omitted. The Sadducees, they tried following the rules in the written Torah, but they also followed the rules of Rome, which could also contradict one another. They were the yes men for the Romans. But according to Matthew, Mark, and Acts, the Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection or an afterlife, so they didn't have that much to lose. So as you see, not only were these religious leaders interested in following the laws of God, but of man as well, whether it be the Romans or their ancestors or the rules they made up on their own to make them appear holier than thou. The problem with that is that these rules didn't always match up with what God said. Jesus tells the Pharisees in Matthew 15:7-9, he says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. It was an act. They looked and sounded holy, but it didn't come from a true desire to please God. And unfortunately, even today, we have those that are merely trying to keep rules and even make up their own to get into heaven. Now, it is all right, and it's even commendable to have your own rules that the Holy Spirit may convict you of. But please note what I said. Your own rules that the Holy Spirit convicts you of. That means don't force your conviction on others. And don't judge others just because they don't share your convictions or your ideas of what should or shouldn't be done. And certainly don't create these rules just to make yourself look better. Now, I've read through the Bible several times. I have yet to find the verse that says, "Thou shalt not observe movies," which the Motion Picture Association of America has rated anything other than G. I am the Lord. I also haven't found the one that says, "And all those whom listened to secular music were cast into the fiery pit below." Man, I know there's a lot of garbage on TV and on the radio, and I'm not saying that it's all good by any means. I'm merely saying don't be too quick to condemn a brother to hell because his views are different than yours. Now, on the other side of that, nothing we do should be a stumbling block for others either. If you invite a new Christian to dinner who's a recovering alcoholic, don't order a beer with your meal. We know that consuming alcoholic beverages in itself is not sin, but drunkenness and addiction are. If drinking wine was sin, Jesus would not have tempted man to sin with his first public miracle. And if drinking beer was sin, there wouldn't be a whole book in the Bible about making it. Hebrews. Now, believe it or not, there are judgmental people in this world. Not in this room, I'm sure, but out there somewhere. There are also those who may use scriptures out of context. And these rules are biblical, but may not apply the way they interpret it. I see a lot of tattoos here. I have tattoos. You say, "But wait, Leviticus 19 says don't tattoo yourselves." And yes it does. It also says don't shave, cut your hair, or wear garments made out of more than one material. But I believe God was telling the Israelites not to follow the religious practices of the Egyptians and the Canaanites and end up worshiping their false gods. And why do I think that? Because he said it in Leviticus 18:3. "So do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I'm taking you. You must not imitate their way of life." Then he says it again in 20:23. Now, please don't think I'm telling you to read the Bible and interpret it any way you want to. If you don't understand something, ask your pastor or a Bible scholar. Consult a concordance. Actually study it. Don't just come up with your own meaning. For instance, in the book of Acts, when it says that all of his disciples were in one accord, it doesn't mean that all 12 of them were carpooling around together in a Honda. Now, I have been told that Jesus did drive one, but he wasn't very proud of it. No, really, in John 12:49 of the NIV, he said, "I did not speak of my own accord." All right, so back on topic. If you choose to truly follow Christ, you will inadvertently try to follow the rules. But if you just choose to follow the rules, you're not truly following him. So you may be asking yourself, how can it be one way and not the other? Well, I think Kyle Idleman used about the best comparison possible when he spoke about his wife. His wife had all kinds of rules for him to follow. And if you're married, you know what he's talking about. But if that's all that drove him was being able to follow those rules, he would have been gone. And with Christians, it's the same way. If you're only aiming at keeping the rules, you can quite easily slip away when you realize how hard those are to keep. Kyle was truly in love with his wife. His heart, therefore, wanted to do anything he could to please her. And it's the same in our faith. If you truly love God, you will want to modify your behavior so that everything you do becomes truly pleasing to him. If you really wanted to, You could read through this book and find thousands of rules to follow. Thousands. Or you could simply follow the two most important rules that Christ gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that means all the other rules are merely cannon fodder that we don't need to worry about, right? Not at all. He says, love your God. And if you do truly love God, you'll follow all the rules he gives. Christ says in Matthew 5:17, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. Basically, like Kyle, you'll do whatever it takes to please the ones whom you love. If you love God and your fellow man, you'll do what you can to please them. If you just try to follow the rules, you'd better check your aim. You'll merely end up with resentment and bitterness in your heart instead of love. And after all, this is not a rule book. It's the greatest love story ever written. In Jeremiah 17:10, God says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And let's examine that for a minute. What did you hear? Where was your aim? Was it to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve? If so, it might sound like it is about keeping the rules. An entry into heaven based on good deeds, right? Let's aim at the right target. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Then he rewards based on the conduct. He doesn't measure the outcome. He measures the input. He checks the motivation. Where was your heart? Makes me think he's more concerned with why than what. Matthew 23:4, Jesus, speaking of the religious leaders, says they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. But 1 John 5:2-3 says, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So that means keeping all these rules is easy, right? No. In fact, Christ explained how the law was really even stricter than we originally thought. If I hate someone or say, that guy's an idiot, I'm a murderer. Oh, she's hot. Adulterer. The fish was this big. Liar. I want his car. Coveter. How about the P word? Anyone? Anyone experience that pride thing? Anyone? Pride? Well, they're proud. They even raised their hand. Now, for those of you that didn't, we'll pray for you later. So you see, these rules are even tougher than what we read in the Old Testament. But you'll still try to follow these rules to live a life that's pleasing to God. If you truly love God, you'll do whatever you can to be acceptable to him. It's something that comes from the inside out. If you start on the outside, you might as well throw on a mask. Your heart has to change before your actions. The good news is that when you're truly saved, God gives you a new heart, one that desires to please him. I've invited people to church and been turned down because they feel like they won't fit in. They say, well, I got to get this, this, and this out of my life before I go to church or before I think about getting saved. Really? So you think salvation is something that you earn yourself through your behavior? It sounds to me like you really need to get the word somewhere. Or how about Christians in the church? They break a rule. Oh, I can't go back to church now. I'm a backslider. I'm not allowed in church unless I have it all together. Guess what? You're worse off than the unchurched. You should know the word already, and if you think that you stand a better chance of fixing yourself than having the support of Christ and his body, we all make mistakes. It's our nature. You admit it, you forget it, and you soldier on. Ask the Holy Spirit to order your steps to a God-pleasing life. Does anyone else here think we hear enough bad news in the world these days? So do I. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But the enemy, he's going to start whispering. You can't do this. You won't follow all these rules. But God, more bad news. He said they can't do this. They won't follow all these rules. So I'm going to send my son to show them and tell them how. And then Jesus said they won't do this. They won't follow all these rules. But spare them. Let me take their punishment. We all miss the mark, just like Christ explained. And that's why he came. Not just to be the perfect example for us to follow, but to pay the ultimate price for the times that we do stumble, when we do miss that mark, to extend us grace. He made a way where we couldn't. A few weeks ago, during our table discussion, one of the men said that he didn't feel that he was worth the grace that he was given. Now, Captain Corbin did set him straight. Every one of us are worth it. To say that we're not worth it means that Christ was wrong when he showed us that we were. Not deserving of it? That'd be accurate. It's grace. None of us deserves it. That's what grace is. Getting something that we didn't deserve. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." Guys, God sacrificed his own son for us. That's how much he loves us. And all he asked from us is that we love him and each other. And not nearly as much as he loves us. We don't have to sacrifice our own flesh and blood to show him how much we love him, like he did for us. Just live a life that is pleasing to him. Love him and love each other. That's it. Everything else falls into place. It sounds so simple. It's two little things. Yet we make it so difficult. It's not about rules. It's about relationships. Until last night, this was supposed to be the end of my talk. And then something happened last night when I felt like I needed to share after I thought about it for a while. I went to Wally World. That's Walmart. I had to go get a box of Hamburger Helper because, yes, I'm a health food nut. As I was walking out to my car, I heard a little voice say, "Hi." And I turned around, and I seen a little girl jump out of her car and ran over towards me, and I told her hello, and she said, "Can I shake your hand?" And her mom said, "I'm sorry, she's extremely autistic." So, of course, I shook her hand. I found out that she had just lost a tooth. She got paid $2 for that tooth. She had a hole in her smile, so I guess she had a holy smile. I thought that was kind of cool. Then later on, I got to thinking about it. Why did Mom apologize? Why'd she say, "I'm sorry"? Why? Because her daughter broke the rules. Our social rules. You can't just run up to a stranger, shake their hand, introduce yourself, and then start telling them about yourself. Says who? Imagine what the world would be like if Everybody did that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this time of fellowship with one another and for all the wisdom and testimony that's shared at the tables in this room. I pray that you soften the hearts of each and every one of us. Please continue the works that you have already started. Take away our selfish desires and give us a heart and a will that aligns with yours. Help each and every one of us live a life that is pleasing to you. And let that be seen by others, not for our glory, but for yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.